This program is a rebroadcast of a previously aired show. Hello and welcome to this new edition of Viewpoints. My name is Boris Chassaigne. I'll be with you for the next half hour. On today's show, we stay in one place today as we dive into an audio documentary produced by our journalist Pamela Hassan, posted in Smithers, British Columbia. Pamela Hassan wanted to hear from people involved in the recent renaming of the Haida Gwaii village of Queen Charlotte back to the traditional name of Daijingeeds. In 2019, the activist involved in the Skidigit Haida immersion program called SHIP submitted a request to the Queen Charlotte Village Council to change the name of the village back to the ancestral Daijingeeds. The Skidigit Haida immersion program, founded in 1998, has since been documenting the Skidigit Haida language of Haida Kiel for the purpose of saving a language that is quickly disappearing and to keep in touch with their ancestors. The protection and preservation of Haida Kiel language is a lengthy process, and it is due to the efforts of 10 very committed, dedicated Haida elders who are fluent speakers of the Skidigit Haida language. The average age of these elders is 80, and they represent approximately 50% of today's fluent Skidigit Haida Kiel speakers. Their effort to revitalize Haida Kiel or Gnaien, respect for their ancestors' language and its many dialects, have been of the utmost importance. So these elders took charge of the name change process and proposed it to the village council. The community has been working on it for years. Citizens, council members, government representatives were consulted and still are. Whether it's approved or not, the proposed name change and process could serve as an example for many communities across British Columbia and Canada widely that wish to correct and recognize the wrongs of the country's colonial history and wish to reconnect with the indigenous culture and ancestors. For the Haida, the proposed name change represents more than a name, but a way to be proud of their history, culture, and language, to communicate and pay respect to their elders and ancestors. In this documentary, Pamela Hassan spoke with many elders, as well as with Queen's Charlotte Mayor and the BC Minister of Municipal Affairs and Immigration. She first talks with Diane Brown about the importance of changing Queen's Charlotte name back to Daijingeeds. Diane is one of 19 people who still speak Haida Kiel.
When I took training in 1970, there was people from all over the province and many, all the coastal nations understood each other.
This is Gua Ganad, or Diane Brown. She is a cultural and language holder of the Eagle Clan and the youngest of only 19 fluent speakers of her ancestral language of Haida Kiel.
And then all the interior natives, they understood each other. I was the only Haida, of course, at the class, but you know, I couldn't understand anything they said. They couldn't understand my language. It's just like, you know, I don't know how the heck the British would feel if we wanted to call it Gwaisting. Let's change England to Gwaisting because there's two islands there. You know, that would they'd start a world war or something, I'll bet you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you turn it around and trying to call some of their precious places, let's call England Gwaisting. See how that feels. It helps us, you become closer to your ancestors with the ancestral names. It was wonderful reclaiming the down south names. How I know some non-Haida people have difficulty in accepting and understanding that we communicate with our ancestors as yet. And one of the elders said one day, well, what's going to happen if we lose our language? Who's going to speak to the ancestors? That one really shook me up. When we were reclaiming the names, it was very powerful. And most of the people that reclaimed the names on that, the elders, they're gone now. We did it just in the right time, because if we were to do that today, I don't think we could get a lot of them. Because, for example, Nungking-Iuans, we would be stuck on a bay. In Nungking-Iuans, one time we went to went down for the night, and he got up in the morning, and he had the answer. He dreamt about it.
Anga.
Yes.
I was supposed to go too, but I wasn't well.
I don't know who all that's in ship today that were on that journey, but...
Niece Juan?
Yeah, he's not here today, though, darn.
No, not today, unfortunately.
I was just trying to grasp the amazing feeling that we got on that journey as we reclaimed them. It was powerful. It was empowering, you know. It was... I felt closer to our ancestors. Many things happened on that journey.
From this meeting and discussion, I gathered two pieces of information that I didn't expect. Firstly, that this isn't just about a name. It's about the Haida people whose way of life and language were nearly extinguished by the introduction of European settlers. And that without their language, the Haida lose the ability to communicate with their ancestors. Secondly, documenting Haida Keel is almost more like a biology lesson than a lesson in semantics. When I asked, what does Dajin Geeds mean, or translate to, the answer was deeper than I expected. But that's something unique about the Haida dialects. Of the more than 60 indigenous languages spoken in Canada, Haida is unlike any other. It's a language isolate, meaning it has no other language relatives, like French has with Spanish and Italian, for example. The Haida language consists of three main dialects: Alaskan, Haidkil, Masset, Haidkil, and Skidigit, Haidakil. While a Haidakil speaker and Haidkil speaker can mostly understand one another, the three varieties themselves are aggregations of many more that were whispered out of existence with the decimation of the Haida populations as the northwest coast of North America in the 19th and 20th centuries. This is an excerpt from a fantastic article called Saving Language at the Edge of the World by Jensen Edwards that was published in May of 2018. The elders at ship wrestle with fragments of upwards of 19 dialects in order to come to a consensus on any given translation. When no one solution can be settled on, they write down and record all of their options. Haida words can also be made by combining sounds that indicate concepts, including whether they are horizontal or vertical things, made of wood or made of stone. There are very few word-for-word English to Haida translations. More often than not, a simple English word or phrase involves finding the appropriate sentence in Haida. More often than not, an English expression is just an imprecise pronoun, a simple verb, and a temporal observation. But when translated into Haida, it becomes a cultural revelation. But when I spoke to the members of SHIP, they emphasized the impact of name and place using traditional language as a way to recognize Haida life and Haida land.
You know, like Queen Charlotte, that's not the real name of these islands. They had a name long before contact. So did Dajin Geech's ancient name. And then particularly some offensive explorers that did some terrible things were really in a hurry to get them off.
I just feel that reclaiming our history is so important to our Haida people.
This is Crystal.
And this is a form of reconciliation, is to reclaim a part of us again.
How many people speak Haida now?
In terms of fluent speakers, first language speakers, under 10 in Skidigit.
And practicing?
Well, we have 6 first language speakers with us at SHIP.
Less than 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love about speaking Haida Keel? And also, where do you feel it in your body when you're speaking with another Haida Keel speaker?
Well, for example, this morning, Talgad and I made a little exchange in our language, and I was just reading, someone had quoted me that it's an exact language. You know, when you hear a word, you can see it and feel it. That doesn't happen with English for us. It's just better, much better.
Way better.
Do you find that it's
possible to describe any of the Haida dialects, but do you feel like it's possible to describe Haida language using English words?
Of course, but you can do it and it doesn't come out the same.
How do you feel about the name change to Dajing Kids?
It just should be. This is Haida land and it's the official language of Haida Gwaii. And it's no different than me being 3 years old, 4 years old, learning how to say Queen Charlotte. I can say it perfectly fine today. Those that can't say Dajing Kids today in Charlotte could take time out of their day, learn how to pronounce it, reach out to somebody that can.
It's hard for them to understand because it's not, they don't have any ownership to it. And for example, we've started calling our children with Haida names legally. It was just in the news last week about some people from Vancouver Island that called their son a name and the government refused to accept it because it didn't fit the slots. And then when we first, for example, we first called our first granddaughter, Tang Renee, there was a big, you know, oh, we can't say that. And when she started school, the teachers were saying, nobody will be able to say it and all that. You know, they just want to throw blocks up. But now people are saying it fine. The settlers, they don't care to see that, I guess, or something.
Once the name is changed and Queen Charlotte is given back to the crown and you have a now more people saying Dajing Kids, do you think this now opens the door and people will want to learn, Haida and settlers will want to learn the language and more about where they live?
Oh, of course.
There's a certain amount that, you know, used to attend ship a long time ago. They want to learn, most of them, but then there's a sector that's against it all, no matter what it is. The Haida language is the language of Haida Gwaii. And we've gone through a lot of work, especially the elders that aren't with us now, renaming all the villages down south, all the villages up north. They all had names. And so we're reclaiming them all. It's certainly helping us move forward. And there's a resistance.
What does Dajing Kids mean?
There's a... Like we say, some words mean many things, mm-hmm. but Dajin is hat. Geets is children or child of the hat. The Geets part too is, it's pretty a honorable name. Or you see, all children of chiefs are called Geets. So nobody else can be called that. So I think way back in our histories, that's obviously was the child of a chief that they may have named it after. When we were reclaiming names down south, you have to pull into consideration the landscape, how things are shaped, what happened there.
Among you in the program, you know, how much discussion is interpreting a word or how to define it? And do you find it's Do you find that you may visit the place or hold the thing in your hand in order to describe something better?
I don't know. I mean, for example, there's about 30 to 40 names to explain a wave.
Boganut, can I have a little discussion with you while we're on this?
Sure, Togadut.
To me, Dajing Kids means being protected by a hat. Dajing Geets. Okay, that's all.
That makes perfect sense.
Well, because I heard that it's like always, it was always windy there, where the villages, where the community hall is.
The hats were extremely important to all our ancestors and to us today, just for what Talgadat said. It protects us from the wind, the rain, the sun.
And just from listening to you talk about geets being a word that is used by chiefs, you know, it's almost a protection thing.
Yes.
That's what made me really believe what my thoughts were
meant something. Can I say something? It's Ilja Shilai.
Hey, Ilja Shilai.
This is very interesting. I like what I'm hearing from. To me, it gives me a feeling, a real good feeling. Growing up here as a Haida person, going to school in Dajingeets, it was very difficult. There was lots of racism, and I felt it mostly from the teachers. And for me, when that pole went up in Dajingeets, my chest was so wide open, my heart was open, and it made me feel so good. Yes, this is our home, and they're acknowledging it, and they're paying us a respect. And I feel the same way about this name. Okay, so sometimes we weren't welcome up there in our own territory, but now the people that don't know that that's Haida land, that's our land. It's getting the proper name back. It's paying respect to us. And I think that's so important for us as Haida people to heal some of the hurts and the pains that have gone on in the past. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Deadly, dead on.
Po'a.
This is an important time in far-reaching Haida history. Not only did SHIP receive unanimous support by the Queen Charlotte Village Council, but they never gave up their lengthy three-year process. Since the original request, with an interruption in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Council has been engaging with village residents, business owners, and island stakeholders to have meaningful discussions, listen, share knowledge, as well as ask and answer questions. Here's Mayor Chris Olson in a conversation that we had prior to the May 16 council meeting, where the results from the community response survey were shared.
We had 380 members of our community return their forms, so it was a really good survey. It really tallies and records, you know, statistically how many people came out and you know, to give us a response and understanding of, you know, the people that are for and the people that are against. So it gave us the information that we need to move forward. So quite excited. We're quite excited about the next steps, and we'll be receiving a report from our CAO with options, outlining the options where we can move forward. So pretty excited about that.
In March of 2022, the village disseminated a community response form to formally gather opinions of residents and property owners. Rounding up, the results of the 380 responses, which were shared at the May 2nd council meeting, indicated that 49% of respondents strongly supported a change, 12% somewhat supported a name change, and 36% did not support changing the name of the village. Council's subsequent resolution on May 16th, 2022, that supports restoring Dajingeets as the municipality's name, is a step in a process that is without precedent. When Mayor Chris Olson Deluju spoke to me after the May 16th council meeting, he was positive about the council's response, albeit a little disappointed in some of the residents who opposed the renaming to Dajingeets. After the two-week waiting period, I spoke with Mayor Olson again once council held a public meeting, this time to announce that they had voted unanimously to change the village name back to Dajingeets.
I'm very honored. I think our community looked at this question and educated everyone, and we were able to look at the issue at hand, and we were able to respectfully come to a decision to unanimously, as council voted, to return our name to the ancestral name of Dajingeets. So I'm very honored, very honored.
Great. And what were the biggest struggles at the municipal level to help make this change happen?
Well, I would have to say at the municipal level, the fact that there really was no place for us to look for help or advice. There's really no other communities that we could ask for, how did you do this? What was the process? So when we asked government, they told us we had to have consent of community number one, that we had to post decision. So for us, consent of community kind of is an open-ended term. So we had to really educate our community, provide information sessions, really take our time, listen to the community, answer questions that community members had, because it took 3 years. So I would have to say the hardest part was just really ensuring that we have shown consent of community and that we've done our due diligence. And after we make our decision, we have to post the decision for 2 weeks. So we're doing that right now. It's posted. And on our June 6th council meeting, we will make the formal resolution to then have cabinet request an order in cabinet to do a formal name change of our letters patent.
And would this have happened without the work of the Skidigit Haida Immersion Program?
Not at all. Everything, this is directly a result of the great work that the Skidigit Haida Immersion Program has been doing. They've been restoring and revitalizing the Haida language now for 1994. It really came together. Maybe I got that date wrong, probably, but in the early 90s, really started to formulate and set forth with the revitalization of the Haida language.
You know, thinking about changing back to an ancestral name, of course, I like the thought of it, but really it has so much to do with, like, there's still so much interpretation with the Haida language. And so there's still so much work to be done. So do you know kind of what's next? Are there any more villages or rivers or places that are kind of slated for this change?
Well, every year, the Council of Haida Nation is working with the Ministry of Toponymy to bring back ancestral names. And there's a number of names that have occurred all over Haida Gwaii that a lot of them are just straight up incorrectly spelled. So those will be like the first ones that would be changed, would be taking the English spelling and then putting it back to the proper Haida spelling. So, yeah, every year, There will be a number of names that will be changed through the Ministry of Toponymy. And when the Council of Haida Nation invited the Village of Queen Charlotte Council into those meetings, the representative, she has the ability to change 7 names, with my understanding, every year without having an order in cabinet. So, and those would be just for the simple misspelled names. And there's also a number of names that, you know, are just completely inappropriate and are named after people that, you know, should not have their name on the map. And those histories will be shared in due time.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, Mayor Olson, was there anything else about this process that, you know, is maybe a way for people to support this decision, or are you kind of just in that posted and waiting period right now?
Well, this is something that our community, we really looked at as two communities coming together and uniting, and we really kept it between our two communities and didn't seek outside influence or information. We really looked at doing it in a classy, respectful way between our two communities and just respecting each other as we made such a important decision, because basically place and identity are fundamental in who we are. So we are just looking at doing this together in the spirit of you know, respect.
To change the municipality's name, council must ask the Minister of Municipal Affairs to advance a request to cabinet. By way of May 16th groundbreaking resolution, council has triggered the statutory 2-week notice period that aims to see a formal request to Minister Cullen by June 6th. From there, Minister Cullen will need to decide whether to advance the request for an order in council. Let's listen now to my interview with Minister Cullen about this decision, as well as the logistics of this groundbreaking process.
Sure. I'm Nathan Cullen. I'm the MLA for Stikine and also the Minister for Municipal Affairs and responsible for immigration.
So the Village of Queen Charlotte Council is currently in the process of posting their decision to return the village name back to Dajin Geeds. So what's your role in this decision?
Yeah, we, as the province, holds all of the letters patent for all of BC's municipalities and villages, regional districts. The process of changing a name, it's not often done. It's only been done a couple of times. But there is oftentimes a community will come to us for a boundary change or some other change to what it is that and how they're set up. We've been through it a couple of times with communities that have sought to change a name, and some around questions of reconciliation and returning names back. But it is a fairly new process for British Columbia, and one that's exciting and interesting and complex, obviously. Names matter, and people get very attached to names of all kinds, from older names and ones that have been replaced, etc. So we're learning as we go, as the village has as well on Haida Gwaii. And of course, the island itself went through regaining its name of Haida Gwaii just not that many years ago. And that was an interesting process as well for everyone to go through.
Is your office in support of this change?
We try to stay fairly neutral. We try to enable communities to have the conversation. Ultimately, we want to make sure that the community is very engaged, that people are having their input. We also gauge support from First Nations themselves, of course, which makes sense. In this case, the Haida, are they in favor of it? And the name itself can be very important, is very important. But we try to allow the community to go through their own process and not try to put our finger on the scale one way or the other, but just more ensure that the community was engaged, that it was done openly and fairly. And I would say to the village council has done a lot of efforts despite COVID, which made community engagement face-to-face difficult, to try to talk to people, engage, and certainly engage the Haida communities and the elders as well.
How can the people of Dajingids inspire other communities to also question their place names when so many of us live on Indigenous lands that we don't know the name of?
Well, I think it's happening in all over British Columbia, in my experience, that even the land acknowledgement process for a lot of communities, many community leaders sort of knew, didn't entirely know, but the recognition and understanding whose territory their community sits on. And in that exploration is also the opportunity to learn or relearn history, right, as to how the community was founded, how was it that the First Nations were dealt with almost always incredibly badly. And then those moments of coming together. And in our community in Smithers, the Shared Histories Project was an important learning for both Smithers and for the Wet'suwet'en, whose territory Smithers sits on, to relearn and in some cases learn for the first time what the history was in the founding of the community and what the role was or wasn't for the Wet'suwet'en in that process. But again, we want to enable the conversations, not push, because I don't know if it's our role to tell a community what their name is. Our role is to allow communities to have the conversation that makes most sense for them. It's a big process, and there's going to be lots of people with passionate voices on both sides, which is, from my understanding, true for Queen Charlotte as well in the village on Haida Gwaii. We'll await that request, and they'll send us an entire package, right? They'll talk to us about what their whole process was and essentially make the case for why they want the name change and why they believe that the process they took was valid and has the community support and the support of the broader First Nations community to go ahead. I'll then prepare something for the cabinet to look at, and with a recommendation from me as to whether I think what happened was in good standing and the name and whatnot. And then the cabinet will make a decision when we get all those papers and get it forwarded. So I don't know what the timing's like. Again, this is a very, very new process for British Columbia. We've not done this very often. But it's interesting and exciting for a lot of people. And again, like I said, raises strong passions on both sides, or many sides. I suppose there's probably even more than two sides on an issue like this.
Hi, it's Singai La.
That's it for us at Viewpoints. We wish to thank our journalist Pamela Hassan and her guests for this unique documentary. Want to know more? Go to canada-info.ca, canada-info.ca. Viewpoints is produced by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. My name is Boris Hassan. We leave you with a Haida rap with Elder Gissa, Gladys Vandal, and Julia Weeder, who formed a rap group Siju Jadas, which means cool ladies in Haida. Digi Flatan Yuju Danko Das Haina Ngatla Sabli Kata Digit Balan Ho Kingas Nadi Gauju Spaga Ho King in Hidi
Suraganga Genu dong is a scoofer tulkunsta Genada dog is a scoofer. forjagen. Canada is the good as the Easter.